This week, Liza Ross stars in To Kill a Ghost, based on the short story The Strange Children by Elizabeth Sanksay Holding, and dramatized for radio by Patricia Mays.
Please be careful, driver. I want to arrive there in one piece.
Sorry, ma'am, but you said that you were in a hurry.
To get to my destination, not my coffin.
I know this is going to be a mistake. I feel it inside me. I hate babysitting for children I've never met, and parents I don't even know. I've always said I would never do it. It's not fair on the children or yourself. If anything goes wrong, if they were to wake up and call, the shock of seeing a complete stranger. Still, here I am. Mrs. Jepson was so persistent on the phone.
Please, Miss Smith, say yes. I don't know what I shall do if you can't come. We're more or less obliged to go to this thing at the country club. We've booked the table and invited our friends to a late supper ages ago. And now Katie, she's our maid, she's been with us for years, has just been called away to a sick sister. She only got the call half an hour ago. It's rather serious. We couldn't say no, naturally.
Wait till I see Myra Williams again, recommending me at 2 hours' notice. I'll have something to say to her. She knows I like to meet the children first.
My dear, it isn't necessary. It is a perfect maelstrom here without Kate. I'll have to get a snack for the children before I go. It'll be a rush for my husband coming straight from the office. He'll have to shower and then we'll have to get dressed. There won't be time for... well, formal introductions. Really, I can assure you it isn't necessary for you to meet the children. They never wake up at night.
What do they do when they go to sleep? Die? You can't guarantee children won't wake up at night.
My dear, the children don't mind strangers in the least. It's true. They're the friendliest children. Oh, almost too friendly, I sometimes think. Oh, look, Miss Smith, my husband and I know how much of a bother this is for you, being asked like this at the last moment, and on such a bitterly cold night, too, and not knowing us and so on. There are stacks of new books here, Miss Smith. And Kate's left all sorts of things in the icebox. Cold chicken, cake, salad. And there's some trifle.
If I do marry Johnny, and we have children of our own, I don't see how I could ever bear to leave them with anyone. Unless it was my own mother, or my own sister, or some friend. Because I like children.
We're here. Thanks.
Miss Smith?
Yes.
I'm Jepson, Ralph Jepson. This is very good of you. Come in, come in.
Thank you.
You're very young.
I'm 22, and I've quite a lot of experience with children.
Ralph, darling, let poor Miss Smith come in and get her coat off. Hello, I'm Mrs. Jepson.
How do you do, Mrs. Jepson?
Now let me have your coat. Ralph, dear, please stop standing there as if we have all the time in the world. Go upstairs and finish dressing, unless you intend going to the country club looking like that.
Excuse me, Miss Smith.
Man. Come in, my dear. Make yourself comfortable.
Natalie?
Yes, Ralph?
My cufflinks. The small oval ones.
What about them?
I can't find them.
Left-hand drawer of your dressing table. I put them there myself yesterday.
All right.
Oh, honestly, Miss Smith, I'm exhausted already. Now, let me brief you before we go, if we ever do. Now, the children's room is over there, and the bathroom and the kitchen are down that little corridor. You'll find plenty of things in the icebox, as I told you on the phone. Take anything you like. There's radio, television, and a stereo. There are stacks of records. And please, don't worry about waking the children. Nothing bothers them. Books and magazines and cigarettes are over there. And on that table, a telephone number where you can reach us, and the doctor's number in case of an emergency. Will you be all right, do you think?
Yes, thank you.
Right, I think I'm ready. Oh, wait, handkerchief. I forgot a handkerchief.
No, honestly, Ralph is worse than we women. Whenever we go out, I'm always the one hanging about. Ralph, we're going to be late! Oh, honestly, Miss Smith, this is a madhouse at times.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you sure?
Yes.
And about time, too. Oh, my handbag. Now, where did I put it?
Is that it over there in the chair?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Miss Smith. Have you got the car keys, Ralph?
Of course.
Well, you know what you're like.
Goodbye, Miss Smith, and thanks.
Yes, thank you, my dear.
Oh, Mrs. Jepson.
Yes?
The children's names.
Oh, of course. There's Ronald and there's Jean, okay? We won't be very late, Miss Smith. Au revoir.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Ronald and Jean. Two children here in my care, and I've never seen them. And they'll never know I've been here. I don't like it. Oh. 584. No, this isn't Mrs. Jepson, I'm afraid. She's just left. Yes, for the country club. I'm the babysitter. No, that's all right. Goodbye. The children. I'd better go and see what they're up to. Hello? I'm Marjorie Smith. I've come to see you. Open the door, will you?
Go away. We never let anybody come in at night. Never. That's right. Not anyone. Now go away.
Just for a moment.
Go away.
What are they doing in there? I'll look through the keyhole. A young man's in there with them.
Let me in.
Go away.
Who are you in there? I can see you, you know. How did you get in?
Georgie, come back.
Will you please open the door? I want to meet you.
Hello, I'm Marjorie Smith.
Hi.
Where is he?
You mean Georgie?
If that's the name of the man in the gray suit, yes. Now, where is he? If you're hiding...
He doesn't stay if anyone comes in, even Mom. He doesn't want anybody to see him, except us.
But how did he... Do you like him?
Of course we like him. When you've gone away, he'll come back and talk to us again.
I can't go away. I promised your mother I'd stay with you until she came home.
We'd rather have Georgie, thank you.
Some other time, maybe. Now, why don't we all go into the kitchen and make some hot chocolate and have a little party, What do you say? Well, they're back in bed and the door's open. The heating's not very good in this house. It's cold. There must be one heck of a draft somewhere. Of course, children have vivid imaginations. Imaginary playmates can seem so real to them. But I saw him too, didn't I? I saw him too. I better make sure the children are asleep now. Ah, yes. Fast asleep. That's funny. I thought I closed their window. Yes, I did. Didn't I? No wonder the place is cold. Seems to have gotten colder outside. Better lock it. The covers are off Ronald. Oh, I bet he can be a little monster when he likes. There. That's it. They're fast asleep. I think I'll go and watch TV.
Nothing I'd like better.
Take me home, Uncle Jeffrey.
Do, Jeffrey. Take your nieces.
I've come to the conclusion that I don't like the Jepsons very much.
I like you, my dear.
No, Marjorie. It's not like you to make snap judgments like that. And it's unfair. Oh, for heaven's sake, let's change channels. Who's there? I thought I heard someone. Is anyone there? The children. Maybe they're up. Oh, I hope they're not going to be difficult. No, they're still asleep. I'll read a little. There is someone there. Who is it? Answer me! If you're there, please answer me! Oh, my God! Someone is in the house, I know it!
Please, don't be afraid.
Who's that?
Please don't be afraid.
Where are you?
I'd like to talk to you.
I can't see you! Where are you hiding? What do you want?
I'd like to come and talk to you for a few moments.
What about? Why won't you let me see you?
I will. If you want me to. I don't mean to do you any harm.
Where are you?
If you want to see me, I can fix it. But if you don't...
Yes, yes. I want to see you.
I'm here.
You're the man who you were talking to the children earlier.
That's right.
Who are you?
My name is George Stewart.
I'm sorry. It means nothing to me. I don't know you. I've never heard of you.
Please don't be afraid.
How do you expect me to react when you...
Materialize?
No, please. Go away. This is some hallucination or some dream.
Perhaps if you'd just let me explain. Please, just let me explain.
Very well.
My name is George Stewart.
So you tell me.
Or rather, it was.
I don't understand what's happening.
It's hard to take in, I know. It's even harder to explain. You see, I was murdered 5 years ago.
No! Things like that aren't true!
I didn't believe things like that myself until it happened to me. You don't know how bad it is, being like this and coming back here.
Then why do you? Why do you come back?
We don't. We don't come back. We've never been able to get away. When you've been murdered, when you die at the wrong time, you're caught here, in this world.
You mean you're alive?
Not alive. Not dead.
I don't understand.
I don't think anyone does. Some of the others, like me, have worked out theories, of course.
You mean other ghosts?
Yes. I've gone to see them. All over the place. They'd all been murdered, even though sometimes it wasn't suspected. One woman who'd been in a castle in Ireland for 400 years told me they were in this sort of in-between state. Because if you're murdered, it's not the right time for you to die, and therefore you can't die, and so... Well, you can't go on to the next world.
Okay. So what is the right time to die?
This woman believed it was all predestined. You're born, she thought, with a natural lifespan, whether it's one day or 90 years, depending on the constitution you've inherited. And your inherited constitution will determine what diseases you avoid and, well, what ones will finish you.
What about accidents?
And she thought that they were predestined, too. It's true that if you go to a place where there's been some great disaster, a flood, a volcano eruption, a train wreck, anything of that sort, no ghosts have ever been heard of there. Now, it's only murder that makes us as we are. Because murder, she said, doesn't have to happen. Nobody is born destined to be murdered, because nobody is born obliged to become a murderer.
So if you've been murdered, you stay on Earth and try to hurt and terrify people.
No. I've never found a genuine case of anyone being hurt by a ghost. If people are terrified at the sight of us, that's not our fault. We go on and on in a in a sort of despair, and nobody will listen to us. Nobody will help.
Why do they want people to listen to them? What sort of help do they want?
We want to be killed.
But you have been killed.
No, no. It wasn't the right time for us to die, so we couldn't.
And when is this right time supposed to come again?
Any time after we've been murdered. We're ready then. Our life here is finished. We're longing every minute to get out of this world and on to the next one.
Well, can't ghosts kill themselves?
I don't know, but they never do. They never even try it. I couldn't tell you how shocking the idea seems to us. No, no, we wait. We feel we must wait until we're taken.
What do you mean by taken?
Killed, until we're killed. A building collapses. There's a stroke of lightning, a fire, or the war. Some of us were killed by bombs. But often it's a long time. That's why we're always looking for someone who'll be merciful enough to set us free. Even to listen to us, as you're listening to me.
Why should the murdered people, the victims, be punished, and not the murderers?
I don't know what happens to the murderers, but I'm certain our waiting isn't meant as a punishment. I suppose that if life is eternal, 100 years, 500 years of waiting hasn't much significance. The way I see it, it's part of a plan, an order of things that we can't grasp. But if you'll help me, if I give you the gun...
No! Oh, I couldn't. I couldn't! What happened to you to turn you into this?
Natalie killed me.
Natalie?
Mrs. Jepson.
What? What are you saying?
Well, I was her lover, you see.
Oh!
Anyhow, that autumn 5 years ago, she was sure Jepson suspected what was going on. And she wanted to get rid of me. She tried to bribe me with Jepson's money to go to Seattle. When I wouldn't do that, she got into a panic. She believed I was going to make a scandal, ruin her, make her lose Jepson's money, her social position, everything she valued.
Were you going to do that?
No, no, I've never been like that. Never wanted to injure anyone, but she wouldn't believe that. She thought everybody was vindictive and dangerous. She asked me to talk things over with her. And we drove in her car up to the lake. She was very quiet and serious. More reasonable, I thought. She brought along some drinks in a thermos, and she poured one out for each of us. I don't know how she managed it, but mine was poisoned. I wasn't watching her particularly. I was looking out at the lake, the autumn leaves floating on it. I was starting to tell her once more that I wasn't going to give up my job here, my friends, everything, and go to Seattle. When the pain came, it was like a thread spinning up and up round the blade of the sharpest knife. Then it was cut into ribbons, and then it was over. She got me out of the car, onto the ground, when Jepson came. I don't know what made him come or how he knew, but he was overwhelmed. That's the word. He was sick with horror. Natalie was stunned for a moment, but only for a moment. Then she had her story for him. She said she'd never imagined the stuff she gave me would be fatal. She said she'd only wanted to knock me out for a few moments so she could get back some foolish letters she'd written to me. Well, I'm sure Jepson didn't believe her. But he helped her. He tied a heavy stone on my ankles and another round my neck. And together, they dragged me down to the lake and into the water, where it was deep. I stayed there, at the bottom of the lake, for a while, 2 or 3 days. But I knew all the time what had happened to me. And I knew I could get out when I wanted.
But how?
I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't seem strange to me. I can be anywhere I want. And it's no trouble, no effort. I can be here or not be here.
You can disappear. Vanish?
No, it doesn't seem like that to me. To me, it's simply going away somewhere else. It's hard for me to realize that I frighten anyone. I don't eat or drink, of course, because we don't need to. Nothing in us breaks down or wears out. Nothing needs building up. I'm just what I was 5 years ago. The same blood, same bones and muscles, and the same mind. I can see. I can hear. I can speak. Why am I so terrible?
You're not. But why do you come back here? Is it to make them remember what they did?
No. I don't care about Natalie anymore. And I'm only sorry for Jepson. He doesn't need any reminding. He's never got over it. You could see it in his face, poor devil. No, I've never let him see me here. It's Jean. You see, she's my child.
Your child? Oh my God.
I'm sorry, but I don't know where else to turn now. Please, it won't take a moment. Please, if I give you the gun.
I couldn't.
Please.
I couldn't.
Please.
Please don't ask me. Can't you stay here with Jean?
No, don't you see? Don't you see? That's the worst of it. If anything should happen to her, if she should die, she'd go on to the next world, and I couldn't. She'd be gone, and I couldn't find her. Now, please, I beg of you.
Mr. Jepson! I live right across the street, and so I saw everything. So I called the police at once.
All right, Mrs.
Morgan. Mrs. Morgan. I live in number 24. My living room window faces this window.
What did you see exactly, Mrs. Morgan?
I saw Mr. Jepson here creep across the front lawn and go up onto the veranda out there and look in at the window. Then I saw him move to the front door, and when he was here in this room, I saw him take out his gun and fire.
I didn't mean to.
Look, that's all we've managed to get out of you so far, Mr. Jepson. You'll be telling us next you didn't know the gun was loaded.
Of course I did.
Oh, you go out to dinner carrying a gun, do you?
It was in the glove compartment of the car. When I go out, I keep it there. There have been a lot of burglaries around the area lately.
You have a license for it, I suppose?
Yes.
That's the first straight answer I've got from you so far. Can I see it, please?
I don't see whether he has a license to carry a gun or not makes any difference to what I saw happen in this room.
Look, do you mind, lady? I'm investigating this case, not you.
There you are, Lieutenant.
Thanks. Well, that appears to be in order. Okay. Now, give me the answer to the $64,000 question. How did you get rid of the body so fast? Or was there a body at all? Or is all this some kind of a hoax?
No, he was dead, Lieutenant. There wasn't any doubt about it this time.
He's telling the truth, Lieutenant. And I can identify the murdered man. His name was George Stewart. And I used to see him here a lot.
Did you see Mrs. Jepson?
Yes, she got out of the car and went into the house right after Mr. Jepson did.
Mrs. Jepson?
Yes, Lieutenant.
Will you please tell
me
what...
I will tell you nothing. I'm not obliged to give evidence against my husband.
I didn't mean to do it. I didn't think there was anyone here.
Do you mean to say that you didn't see this man when you fired a shot directly at him?
I didn't know I could see him. I thought about him night and day. I thought he was gone.
What in God's name are you giving me? Do you admit that you fired that shot?
Yes, I do. But I didn't think it would do any harm.
Well, I've never heard anything so stupid.
Look, will you be quiet, Mrs. Morton?
Morgan!
Oh, come on, Mr. Jepson. Why did you think it wouldn't do any harm to fire a bullet into the man's back? Huh? When you fire a bullet into a human being, does he or she not bleed? Cry out in pain? Does he or she not die? Sometimes? Jeez!
The man was dead before Mr. Jepson came in.
Oh, I'd almost forgotten about you, Miss Smith. So what are you giving me?
I said he was already dead.
Oh, that's very interesting, I must say. Did you kill him then?
No, of course not. He was a ghost, Lieutenant.
That's it. He was a ghost.
Oh, thank you, Miss Smith. Oh, thank you.
Excuse me.
McGraw! McGraw! Take Miss Smith home, will you?
I'd rather stay.
If you don't mind, Miss Smith, I'd rather you didn't. You're not doing any good here. We'll want to ask you some questions later on. Oh, boy, will we want to ask you some questions. Perfect eyewitness testimony to a murder, plus a virtual confession, and no body to tie it to. The corpus delicti without a corpus. You're the one who should be able to straighten it out, I say to myself, and you come out with a stupid thing like that. A ghost? God damn it, now you go home, because clearly you're overwrought. You go home with McGraw. There's a nice lady.
Overwrought. He means hysterical. Mrs. Morgan will tell everyone in the neighborhood what I said. Maybe it'll reach the ears of those who in the past have trusted me, respected me, but won't put me in charge of their children again. Mr. Jepson will be taken from there to a jailhouse, if he's quiet, or a madhouse, if he insists on telling the truth. And the children... The children... Well, they won't be seeing George anymore, I guess.
That was To Kill a Ghost, based on the short story The Strange Children by Elizabeth Sanxay Holding, with Liza Ross as Marjorie, Kerry Shale as George, Pat Starr as Mrs. Jepson, and Dennis Cregan as Mr. Jepson. Alexander and Sarah Warren were Ronald and Jean. Other parts were played by Catherine Wilmer and James Hayes. Technical presentation was by Prue Menmuir. This was a BBC World Service drama production directed by Derek Hodinott.